He says, thou shalt not lust after your neighbor's wife. Okay, I didn't lust after my neighbor's wife. It was his daughter, and she isn't married. She isn't even betrothed, so there's no sin. Or it's a prostitute, right? What's the big deal? It's a prostitute. You know, and so there were ways, loopholes. They would justify themselves. Same thing with drinking. I was like, well, you know, it's like, I'm not completely drunk. You know, you can find all kinds of loopholes when you look at it in a legalistic way. But God, in verse 21, I'm still on that verse. The righteousness of God, without any rules, is manifested, meaning it is apparent, it can be seen. When you really have the righteousness of God, like let's say I'm not a drunkard anymore, I'm sober, right? That came to, it was manifest, not for other people necessarily, but it just came to be in me. It was manifested in me. Self-control, right? Being witnessed by the law and by the prophets. See, now, the law and the prophets are no longer rules against us, but witnesses that says, see, that's right. See, that is bearing witness. You know, it's like, I'm not a, you know, I don't not murder because there's a rule about not murdering. It's because if God has given me righteousness in that, that I'm just, it's not in my heart. It's not in the feel, you know, I couldn't do it. And the law and the prophets then bear witness to that righteousness, but they do not create it. They can't create it. And righteousness is absolutely necessary for salvation. The problem is you can't obtain it by the law. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. See again, now this all, referring to, you know, all, Jews and Gentiles. You know, it's not necessarily, I'll get into that when we get into later parts of Romans, but it's not necessarily, it does definitely not mean, hey, everyone's righteous now. It's everybody. You know, no, it is unto the called. Those are chosen according to his purpose. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. See, this thing is the difference between Jew, Gentile. For all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. Whether you live under the law, or not under the law, all have sinned. That's what he's saying. Verse 23. Being justified. See, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Let me cover that. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, there are people who will tell you that righteousness is not really a part of the new covenant, that it's just, you just believe and you can pretty much, you know, that's all that's necessary is belief. And it is true. All you have to do is believe. But if you stop believing and stop going on with God, if you just stay in that place where it's like, okay, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I think that's about all I can handle. If you stop there, you will not be saved. Unless you die at the next moment, in which God could judge, he could give you grace, much as he did the penitent thief on the cross, right? He was right there, and the grace of God is able to judge things any way he likes. I mean, he could... You know, the thing is, as a teacher of God's word, I have to look at the judgment of God as he presents it in his word, right? And so, as much as you have opportunity to follow Jesus Christ and to believe on him and to continue to believe on him, I have to tell you that you have to do that. You are obligated to follow Christ even to the end. We are justified freely by his grace, meaning we did not earn this grace. God's grace is bestowed upon people with no regard to what they have done. Meaning you could have a murderer, you could have a grandmother. I mean, it doesn't, it goes the whole gamut of like, from the most innocuous, just a little bit sinful kind of people, if there's such a thing, you know. But, you know, there's some people are pretty nice, right? You know, they probably know their own inner demons. That's the thing. I always tend to judge people better than me because I knew I was so bad. I know all the deep, dark pits of my soul. But I can't look into the souls of other men. So, you know, it's kind of mysterious to me. But the scripture says they're all sinners. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Because in Jesus is redemption. Now, if you go outside of Jesus, there is no redemption. Understand? You can't just say, you know, you have to remain in Christ. You can't go in there. Oh, this is sure nice in here. I like being in here with Jesus. Well, you know, there's sure nice things going on there outside of Jesus. There's whores and porn and booze and drugs and, oh, there's not doing the things I'm supposed to do and doing the things I'm not supposed to do. And maybe I'll just step outside for a few hours. And then they step outside. And they stay outside. In fact, they really never come back in with Jesus. But they think, yeah, I was in with Jesus once, I believed. In fact, I still believe in him. You know, I'm just not really in the house with him. Or, you know, I'm not with him at all times. Because to truly be with him, in him, the scriptures say. And in the first epistle of John, chapter 3, in him is no sin. When you are in with Jesus, you are in a place that is sinless. Okay? You are in a sinless place with Jesus because there's no sin in him. Like when you are, let's say you are fornicating. You're not in with Jesus fornicating. You're drunk. You're not in with Jesus. You're out. You want to get back in? It's not like it's, you know, and I'm not saying God's going to, he could slay you right there. I mean, you know, God doesn't owe anything to any man. But he is gracious. That's what he talks about here later on in the verse. He says, it says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. A propitiation is an expiatory thing. It means the thing that takes things away, right? He takes away the guilt. He takes away the sin through faith in his blood. You believe in his blood, the power of his blood to take away your sin. Not just the, but then look at what it says here. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sin. Remission is